May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Today we begin 5 weeks of reading from the Epistle of James, so that before we begin to look at the reading today, I'd like to take just a minute to introduce a little bit about James, because it is one book, one very short book, and it, as far as we know, it's from a writer different than anyone else. As with the specifics of many of the books of the Bible, we have several details that are open to dispute. First, the authorship, we're not quite sure who wrote it, but there's no idea about date, and then the question about audience is also very important. There are several options of which James could be the author. You might remember that there are two of Jesus' disciples named James. Or it could have been James, one that we know as the brother of Jesus, who was technically not a disciple before Jesus died, but then, according to the early church tradition, became a huge figure in the church in Jerusalem. So it could have been any of those. And even if it were James, the brother of Jesus, which many people, many of the biblical scholars seem to lean toward, they also say that whatever he wrote might easily have been edited by other people coming later. So authorship is a little bit in flux. There's nothing within our text exactly, or anything from the other books, that gives us a clue about when exactly the book was written. But according to the renowned scholar Luke Timothy Johnson, while the sayings in the text echo many of Jesus' words, the language or the specifics of when they were said doesn't necessarily relate to the gospel accounts, which would seem to indicate an earlier writing, perhaps before the fall of the temple in the year 70. Now, James seems to stand alone as a letter. Certainly not like Paul's letters, of which we've become so familiar, or even the ones that we have sometimes attributed to Paul, but were always written by other peoples in Paul's contingent. But neither does this letter follow the same style as what we know as the pastoral letters of Timothy and Titus, nor does it particularly follow the line of what Hebrews has written. So James is much more along the lines of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which you probably have read, you know, just very short little snippets of ways to live that make a lot of sense. Or the book of Ecclesiastes, both of which come from the wisdom tradition. And they, in fact, then show us that James is taking little pearls of wisdom that Jesus spoke and stringing them together, but not necessarily in any kind of reasonable progression that leads us toward a theological conclusion. And if you're still awake after all of that, then the question would be, so if James is so different, if he's not from one of the major apostles, such as Paul or Peter, and it's not a systematic way of trying to make sense of what it means to be a Christian, why are we reading it? And especially, why are we reading it for 5 weeks in a row? Clearly something is working here that the framers of our lectionary said, you want to make sure you listen to this. So with that in mind, I invite us to look at the text from the first chapter today. Professor Hakaru Ward tells us that the author of James used a Greek view of God and the universe and a Jewish view of the law. Perhaps this would be equivalent today to someone experiencing, someone saying, well, we should live up life according to the tenets of the Ten Commandments, but then practicing Buddhism for their personal spiritual practices. So this mix of Greek and Jewish ideas in philosophy and religion is sort of antithetical to each other in a lot of ways. But James combines them in a way that is still very important for us to listen to. So there's a couple of takeaways that I have for you this morning. The first might be fully expressed in the words from the musical Godspell. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all his love. Simple, easy to understand. God cares for the whole world. Every good and stinking last one of us. God's love is unswerving and unshakable. God desires that we are so aware of and accepting of the love that we have been given, that we are then propelled out into the world to pay it forward to those around us. We are to have the same spirit, giving love away just as we have been given this love from God. And it's critical to know that God loves all of us equally. That's awfully hard to hear sometimes. We are not given God's gift because we have accomplished some plateau of achievement in this world or because we have lived exemplary lives, but because that is God's nature. And so we are to immerse ourselves in that truth as we then radiate that love out to others. And James goes on to plead with us. Listen. Stop your questions and stop trying to rationalize everything that you think you know. And just listen. Take note of what others are saying. Begin with a perspective of kindness and gratitude. You don't need to take on an air of superiority. But listen to the anger, the sadness, the frustration, the questions, and the uncertainty of others. Listen to their perspective because before you go hauling off and making judgments, thinking you know something or everything about their life. And James also says, welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. In other words, look at what God has done for me. And carry that forward in how you see and react to others. Secondly, be doers of the word and not merely hearers. It's the simple acts of kindness and generosity that we do daily that affirm that we are carrying on God's generosity. It truly is the little things, the spontaneous ways that we instinctively react to the world. Living in God's love is not an intellectual exercise. It is a constant response to the goodness that we are becoming. If we are to analyze what we do and why we do it, we're not seeing the truth of the gospel. Words have power, as you well know, not just because they can hurt or heal, but because the words that are spoken are windows into what's going on inside of us. What comes out, then, is a reflection of the stuff of which we are made. And James reminds us, if we are hearers of the word and not doers, we are like those who look at ourselves in the mirror. And then when we walk away, we've forgotten what we were like. Loving others as we have been loved doesn't sound or seem difficult, but it can be. We often wrap our affection and the best of intentions with contingencies and preconditions. You can have God's love if you stop doing this. And yet, if we accept God's love with the unencumbered way it is offered, it can flow out of a healed heart with the same purity it is given to us. Worship of God is not and should never be a stale ritual. It flows toward God and then out toward our human fellow humans at the same time. James makes this so incredibly clear at the end of this short passage today. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress, and then to keep oneself unstained by the world. Why the widows and the orphans? Because they are the ones in James' world, and quite frankly in a lot of our world, that are the least able to care for ourselves. We could easily look at what's going on in Afghanistan and Sudan today and see that in spades. Women and children are habitually seen as secondary, less than, unimportant, chattel. When there is no man to validate their lives, they become superfluous and easy targets for any abuse. But Jesus tells us it is not to be so with us. We are to treat all women and all children as if we would treat the most honored and esteemed men. But God loves us all. Even in the most cynical times, we can say that, you know what, women will not forget. And they will raise their children to retaliate. But just thinking of God's love and why we would take care of people, that's a statement born out of narrowness and little regard. The generous heart says, we take care of the less than and the least because they are like our friends. They are a part of our family, and their souls matter just as much as anyone's. And because we are to invest in them the love that God has shared with us. Powerful in its directness and simplicity, James reminds us that it's just all about love. Live as if we believe that God loves us yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and live in the world professing that God's love extends to all whom God has created. Amen.